Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the gift that's inside of Joe. I thank you that evangelism and the heart for unbelievers is all that is rising in this congregation and rising in this city. And we thank you for a great harvest, and I thank you for laborers that are coming forth to harvest, to reap this harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Any questions or answers? If you can ask the question and answer it yourself, great. Does any of you have any Q&A here or questions about anything? And I'll do this. I preach every other week, roughly. And all right, 15 seconds. And I'll move on. Yeah, Patty.
Man, somebody's going to have a
question. Wait, we've got one.
Okay. Oh my gosh, that's awesome. She said, can the kids stay in and listen to Joe before they're dismissed? Yeah. Yeah, just, Lord, help me to remember that next month. I preach the second and fourth Sundays, and he does the second.
And so,
all right, y'all help me to remember the second. You help me to remember. We'll all try to remember to dismiss the kids after Joe speaks. That's a good suggestion. Any other suggestions or questions? All right. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke 4, verse 1. One of the neat things about being at the Morning Star Ministers Conference, I wasn't there the whole time. I needed to come home early because Abigail. But they put a lot of emphasis on, we eat all our meals together there, and they schedule an hour and a half for every meal. And so you're spending 4.5 hours in meals with people, and you can rotate wherever. And then there's another hour after the last thing, so it's really about 5.5 hours you're spending with people. And I end up getting more out of those things many times than the speakers because it stretches you. And just one story. There's an MFM, Morning Star Fellowship of Ministers Elder, that his name's Randall Cutter. I've known him for years. He's the elder over myself, I guess, over this region. And he had just gotten through traveling and vouched for an Indian guy that was there. Now, y'all ready for your mind to be blown? I'm not endorsing what I'm about to tell you. I'm just going to tell you things that happen that go, I'm not in a traditional church anymore, okay? I'm getting expanded.
Thank God.
And anyway, this Indian, he was probably in his 60s, started telling the story how he was in a house that was 200 years old and it belonged to a famous Christian. He said nobody knew it. They found it in the records of, when they were restoring it. And he said one day a guy just knocked on his door and just walked in, said, I need to talk to you. And he's like, who is this guy? Am I about to get burglarized? I'm about to get mugged? But the guy came in and sat down and just said, this house belongs to a famous Christian, and you've inherited it, and started telling him the mantle and the responsibility of this house. And he said, how did you know all this? He goes, it doesn't matter. He goes, what's your name? It doesn't matter. He said, what else can you tell me? He says, my assignment's done. Gets up and walks out. And so I, the naive Christian there, goes, was that an angel? And he goes, no, it wasn't an angel. He said, but he was over 200 years old. And he didn't go in a lot of detail. Later, I talked to this elder, and he says, he believes that it was a man, physical man. I said, 200 plus years old? He goes, yeah. I've spent enough time with people in Asia. They're not bound like Westerners are with their minds. And if the scriptures are true that the last enemy to be put under Jesus' feet is death, and we're to walk in it, then there has to be people that are already pioneering it. And I said, so you think that this person was a man that had learned to live like that? He goes, I'm just saying that's what he believes. And I'm just saying that's what he believes.
Wow.
It's either that or an angel. Makes you think, doesn't it? It expands your mind. We're definitely not teaching this as a doctrine, but you can see that there is some biblical precedence there. And I'm just like, wow, oh me of little faith. Oh me of little thinking. That there's whole groups of people that just think totally different. And this MFM elder, Randy, says, Westerners think that Christianity starts and begins and ends with them in their narcissistic arrogance. What's that? Methuselah just thought he was a young man. And I don't go out of here. I mean, I don't care what you say. We're already, you know, we're trying to expand. But you're just sitting and listening. Those are the kind of thoughts you're going, wow. Luke 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. Verse 2. Where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God." Now, we're starting this classic passage. If you're a Christian, you've probably read this sometime in your life, about the three temptations of Jesus and what I call a taunting. And when we think of temptations, we often always think of, you know, lust, gossip, stealing, all these kind of temptations. And those are temptations. But Jesus was being led into the desert by the Holy Spirit. And he was being tempted by what I call the three core temptations. These temptations go much deeper than stealing and lying. They go to who we are. And these are things that we all fight. These are things that we all go through. And what I call a taunting here, three temptations and a taunting, it's not so much a temptation, but it says he returning from the Jordan. What happened at the Jordan? He was baptized and his public ministry started. And then when he was baptized, and he came up out of the water, a voice was heard from heaven, a dove symbolic of the Holy Spirit came and sat on his shoulder, and the voice said this, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Hallelujah. And this is the taunting. So immediately after this prophetic word, he is led into the desert, and the first thing that is common to all three temptations, as you'll see, the devil comes to you. He heard, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He heard him say, he says to Jesus immediately to come steal the word, "If you are the Son of God." I want to tell you today, he taunts all of us with the same thing all of the time. And it's a problem with all these three temptations. He'll come to you and go, "Are you really saved? Are you really God's favorite? Are you really the son and daughter of God? Can you really come into the throne room of God?" Here's Jesus being tempted by it, and he just had an audible prophetic word spoken over to his life. And if he can be taunted by this and tempted to do something he shouldn't be, the same is with you. And this is a battle for most of us all of the time. And today I want to settle this thing, or at least start the process of settling this thing. Are you really saved? There's a doctrine that is very common in the Pentecostal movement here, that or Pentecostal history, that, you know, they said we had 40 come to the altar this week, and 40 come to the altar this week, and 40 come to the altar this week. And I'm thinking, dude, is the church this big? No, they're all getting saved again. Listen, I understand the verse in Hebrews, and I understand the lukewarm about spitting you out of your mouth. But I'm telling you, if you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, and if you're following Him with all of your might, you are saved.
Hallelujah.
You do not need to go to the altar every week. Maybe you need to repent of some sin, but it's no different than my sons and that disobey me. They're still my sons. We need to settle this thing. "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." If it's happened to Jesus, it's probably happening to you today. If He can get you to believe or to doubt your importance as a son and daughter, it will rob you of your future. Arthur Burke says it very well. He says, slaves work for God, sons work with God.
Amen.
There are very few Christians that say, what audacity to call myself a son of God. You didn't call yourself a son of God. He called you a son of God. And you can either disagree with Him out of arrogance and false humility, or say, I am going to be who He has called me to be. Do you believe Him or not? I love Galatians 3:26. It says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So many Christians shut down their future, and they shut down to just basic survival because they have a mentality of slaves and servants that the devil has taunted you with. If you are the Son of God. Don't you think He knows He's the Son of God? What He's trying to do is speak into him to get him to change his mind. And He speaks to us all of the time to try to change our minds.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. So many people live in fear. Do I have God's approval? And you're living the best way you know how. Let me tell you, if you're doing the best you know how, following Him the best you have, you have His approval. Well, I don't feel it. It doesn't matter if you feel it. Well, I don't feel worthy. It doesn't matter if you feel worthy. Whenever we put feel or think in front of it, you're being led by your soul, your unredeemed mind, and your unredeemed emotions instead of by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14 says we are led by the Spirit of God. If you're the sons of God. And so we have to tell our minds repeatedly, shut up. And as Jesus said, it is written. Not, I feel like it. Not because I have goosebumps. Not because I feel the anointing. Because it is written.
Hallelujah.
Well, my mind doesn't like it. That's because your mind is unrenewed and unredeemed. And we just need to frankly sometimes tell it to shut up.
Amen.
It does not line up with the Holy Spirit. It does not line up with the Word of God. And when then you'll enter into a battle to see who wins. My understanding or the Word of God. And we have to wake up every day. Believe me, I have battled with this just as much as you have. You have to wake up and says, it is written. Who gives a how I feel? This is how it is. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ at the end of 40 days was hungry, was tired. He had nothing to eat. I guess he had something to drink. And here comes the devil to try to fight him. I'm telling you, I doubt he felt like a beloved son. Maybe he did. I wouldn't have felt like a beloved son. And that's why he said, it is written. We need to settle this to go on to where we're going in God. So many Christians are hung up on this. We cannot partner with God to accomplish things in our lives until we realize we can partner with God, and He wants to partner with us as sons instead of giving us just orders as a servant. He says unto my, He says to my friends, I tell you what I am doing.
Yes.
Let's just pause for a moment. Our whole country, when we got away from it is written to what I think, we went into an identity crisis in this country. This is what I'm talking about, is an identity crisis. Who are you? We need to settle this thing. This is the basis of Christianity. Who are you? Are you the Son of God or not? And then he goes on with these three temptations, which we're probably not going to get to this morning, but we're having a good time. We need to settle this. Who are you? Let me tell you from personal experience, a lot of people go, well, Craig, you just have a strong relationship knowing you're the sons and daughters. You do not know how I battled in my early 30s over this. And what I did in my early 30s, I just got up every morning, you are the Son of God. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you think. And act like it by faith, not by the senses. It says not by sight. Sight's your senses. Whether it's smell, hear, touch, you just have to do it. And eventually your mind gets wore out by the Spirit. And it gets retrained. And we have to move into this identity thing of who we are. And I personally spend way too much time trying to talk people into it. I can't talk you into it. Amen. It is written.
Yes, it's written.
Amen. You make up your mind.
Yes. Choice. Hallelujah.
Well, I don't feel like it. Do it till you feel like it. Is that too harsh?
No. Right on.
We have to retrain this because so much is being stolen when our identity is just trying to get by. Our heart's good. But I'm telling you, He wants to partner with you to change your area of the world. You know, it's real common in our world to say, in our time, you can change the world. I personally don't believe that. I don't think any of us, there may be one person in here that changes the world. That's just not realistic. But you can change your part of the world.
There you go.
Yes,
there
amen.
You go. There you go.
You can change your part of the world.
Yes, you can.
And you can make a difference. We need to get this identity thing down. Now, your identity comes from the Father God. Why? Because that's who spoke over Jesus. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. In a perfect world, you just get a jump start on your identity from your earthly father. Very few of us got it. What does that mean? Well, we just have to try harder and work harder, and the Heavenly Father can make up for it. Sometimes spiritual fathers or mentors come in, and they can make up for it. But your identity is who you belong to first before you do something. And out of that intimacy comes great change in you and around you.
Hallelujah.
As Arthur Burke says, he says it so well. He says, a lot of people get a vision and go do it, and things happen. But it's even better to be intimate with the Father. And out of that intimacy, life is conceived.
Yes.
It's no different than physical birth.
Yes. Yes.
Two people come together and out of intimacy, there's a conception and life comes out of it. Because whatever the Lord brings forth, He births. But so many of us, we don't think of us as sons and daughters, so we never run to Him to have any intimate moments where conception can happen. We're waiting in the next room on an intercom for the orders to come. Is that too hard? You understand what I'm saying? Let me just pray for a second. Father, thank You that You are calling us even now. And that even now You're showing us that we are sons and daughters. And even if my physical son is mad at me, he can still come into my presence with questions of why did you do this or that, and I'll share it with them. Amen. Our country, because I believe we're under the curse of Malachi 4, 6, and 8, it says in the last days the spirit of Elijah is going to come forth and restore the hearts of the fathers to the children, the children to the fathers. There's many different levels to that, natural levels plus spiritual levels, unless there comes a curse on our land. There's a curse on our land. Why? Because identity is everywhere in the confusion in it. Can I just give you a practical example? If you get offended at me, I don't mean to offend you. What's been all over the news the last 2 weeks?
Transgender.
Gender identity. Gender identity. And this isn't a judgment what I'm about to say. I have great compassion.
Yes.
I mean, what was it, last week or week before last, New York passed a law identifying 31 genders?
Wow, 31 genders.
Well, let me just be blunt. There are only two genders.
Yeah.
It's very easy to prove.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not about to prove it today.
Yeah.
Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Now,
very good.
What's going on in their mind? Who the heck knows? Well, I do know. It's demonic.
Yes.
To come to you to try to steal the way God made you. And I have compassion over them.
Yes.
They're confused.
They are. Yes.
The reason they're confused is they had no father. They had a godly background. Yes. Or a mother who had a godly background. That when they were going through puberty, to say, listen, it's normal to think of having identity issues because there's all these hormones coming on. But I'm here as a father to tell you, you are a daughter made in the image of God, and He makes no mistakes. You're a son made in the image of God. He makes no mistakes. All these thoughts do not mean that's you. It means it's a product of the confusion that's in the world, yes, that's going around you. And let me speak into you who you are and who your destiny is. And this is it. And all these other thoughts you just have to ignore.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen, brother.
And so this just shows how, what this does is shows our country is no longer led by the Spirit. It is not even sometimes led by the soul, but by the body, which is a complete reversal of what God set it up to be. Our souls are to follow our spirits, and our bodies are to follow our souls. Our souls is where these thoughts come up, and we've reversed it that our soul and spirits follow whatever our bodies do. Well, it's going to produce chaos, confusion, and anarchy. Well, Craig, you're too harsh. Let me ask you this. I'm married with three kids. What if I come to you and say, this woman over here looks good to me, and I feel one with her. I feel at peace with her. I feel I need to do this thing. What's the difference? There is either a law or there is no law. If I go do that, what chaos is it going to produce? 3 weeks later, I feel this other woman over here. We cannot be ruled by what we feel. We are a society that's ruled by emotions. And our culture says it's all right. And the Bible says it leads unto death. Because you're being led by the body instead of by the Spirit.
Yes.
Based on the Word of God. Now, I'm compassionate. If I meet somebody with a gender idea, I don't slam them. I'm just like, listen, this is how God created you. Created you a man and woman. I know there's all this confusion. But these are the lies of the devil.
Yes, amen. It's true.
And let me introduce you to Him.
Hallelujah.
Who created you.
Come on.
And He'll start walking you,
yeah,
back.
Yes.
Into wholeness.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
See, the devil will tell you anything because he wants to rob your destiny. Because your destiny is tied to who you walk with. And if we don't realize who we walk with, we never get to our destiny.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, now that I've gone to meddling, let me share this one other thing.
Take it for it.
This has been happening for 20, 30 years. It's still identity, started probably 20, 30 years ago, where the media, the intellectual types, which are just proving, Romans 1, professing to be wise, they have become fools.
Yes.
Have tried to say basically women are the same as men. You know what I'm saying? Except for some physical differences. And so what they're trying to do, the devil, listen, God is... Man, this, why did I go down this route? So we'll have to finish. Men are not women, and women are not men, and that's okay. That's the way God made it. God is a God of diversity. He is a God of unity in diversity. Lord, help me make this clear. The devil mirrors it with a counterfeit. He tries to make us unified and of conformity, not diversity.
Yes.
Tries to make us all the same. That's why there's such an attack on Christianity. You have to conform to the way we are thinking and call it unity. Christianity actually allows you to believe whatever you want to believe. If you want to be a Muslim, fine, we bless you. If you want to be an atheist, fine, we bless you. But we don't require it. And by us going the way we're going, of everybody has to conform to some standard, what we're doing as a country is we're getting very close to totalitarianism.
Yeah.
We're getting very close to a dictatorship.
Yes.
We will never call that, but by the persecution and the media and the outlaw, because we do not allow diversity. God allows diversity. Be very scared of people forcing you to think a certain way, even another Christian, on their doctrines.
Amen.
Because then somebody has to be the arbitrator of what is right and what is wrong. And there's this huge identity going on in our country. And us as Christians, as maybe there's some of you in here struggling with this, or the people around us, we're going to have to be the hope to the world.
Yes, sir.
To say, you know, it's all right if God made you a man. Like Caitlyn Jenner, or Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner. I feel sorry for this guy.
Yeah, me too.
I have compassion. Have you read the latest? He's saying he made a mistake.
Well,
he said it's not the way it's not the way it was. He's got to go back. Why? The problem is not his body. The problem is what's going on in his mind that the devil has tormenting and been taunting and said, if you were just a man, or if you were just a woman, or if this, or if that. And what we need to do is run to the Lord and say, I am a son of God. Help me to understand that and to run into your presence. And because when that happens, because otherwise he will steal your everything. And we have got to move from judging by what our body feels and our mind thinks back to it is written.
Yes, sir.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Yes,
yes,
sir.
Hallelujah.
Now, you're going to be called intolerant. You're going to be called judgmental.
Yeah.
Listen, something's always judging you.
Yeah. And
are we judgmental? We're judging according to the Bible. Yes, we are.
Amen.
But let me tell you, thousands of years of history show that if you follow the judgment of it is written, it produces wholeness in your body.
Yes.
It produces wholeness in your spirit.
Yes.
It produces wholeness in your spirit better than anything that is out there.
Yep. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Now, the difference is we don't make you do it.
Yeah.
The Bible never makes you do it.
No.
He said to Adam and Eve, here's the Garden of Eden. I said, gave you a perfect environment. I gave you Hawaii in the middle of Iraq, probably, is where the Garden of Eden was. I gave you Hawaii. I gave you all this. It's perfect temperature. I gave you great food supply. You didn't have to work hard. There's no thorns. There's no overtime. And they still chose not to follow him. And he lets them. And so we don't judge people. We don't condemn people. And I say to you, your hope is saying yes to if you are the Son of God.
Amen. Yes.
If you are the Son of God. Now, I know there's a great battle over this, believe me. It was a great battle over myself. I still battle it. When I came here, it went off the charts. And so if you're struggling with this today, I want to pray with you. We're going to work through this thing. The reason it went off the charts here is because this is a very Bible history area, and there's a lot of good parts of that. But there's also, we don't have time to go into it, but the first temptation is, if you are the Son of God, turn this rock into bread. He's asking Jesus to perform. If you're the Son of God, go perform for me.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? And many times Christianity, the organized church, will say, go perform for me. Either live a good life, do Sunday school. You're a hero in our eyes if you do the nursery. If you clean the church, you're really the Son of God.
You're a saint, dude.
Lynn's a great Son of God because she's been cleaning the church for months. We need to do all that stuff.
Yep. Amen.
But we don't do that for identity. We do that just to serve those that are coming in next week and the bathrooms are clean.
Yes.
So that maybe they can hear clearer that they are sons of God.
Amen.
Because we're so in love with the Father. We want no distractions to them. And we want them to hear it. You see the difference?
Yes.
We're going to end there. So much for the three temptations. Maybe in 2 weeks, maybe not. The Lord, a couple months ago, he was talking to me about... he told me this. He said, brevity with clarity is a gift to others. And he said, Craig, you've got to learn that you are enamored with your own voice, as most teachers are. And you've got to stop speaking when I speak. And it's almost always sooner than you think so. Let's stand. Let's stand. And you think you're the only one God speaks those sweet nothings to in this year. We do need to tell when the anointing of the Holy Spirit is doing it. Give you a practical example. We were at one of these tables, and it was just me and another guy. He's from London, England. He's been in southern India for 20 years. And the Lord, I just got this teaching mode on me with the anointing. And that tends to be my strongest anointing. And I just started sharing some things with him that he needed in his own life because he asked a question and opened the door. Before he knew it, he was crying. I mean, just from teaching. I wasn't doing prophetic words, although it was prophetic. He was just crying. And I taught for just a little bit more, maybe a minute. And just show you how it is with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, what you said was good, but that last minute you went too long. Because you're enamored with your own voice. Mm. And you got to learn to see when they're full. Mm. And as you walk through life, listen to the Holy Spirit. And He'll always say, this is enough for right now.
Amen.
Sure, you got more.
Yes.
Mm. But that's for another time.
Amen.
And you'll change your world around you. And he was just crying. He's like, that's perfect. That's what I needed. And I'm like, wow, that's cool.
Yes.
Father, in Jesus' name, we just commit each person here to the Holy Spirit. And Father, you love them so much.